going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
Time for Bradley.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
It's up.
Hello, friends. Welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, at least for me. I'm Ben Garrett, at Spirit Ben on Twitter, the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and Affiliate of On 3. Sign up today for just $1. And Talk of Champions is always brought to you by Riverland Roofing, our friends at Riverland Roofing, who do so much for not just us, but Ole Miss Athletics in the NIL space, name, image, and likeness. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. That man on the other side of your screen is former Ole Miss and NFL offensive lineman Bradley Sal, back for his second Friday show in a row. Brad, look at you go, man. Look, it feels like we're getting the band officially back together here. Don't get me excited. Don't tease me with a good time.
Dude, amazing. You text me 2 weeks in a row and I came on. So that's awesome.
So it's my fault. It's my fault that Bradley Sal had, okay, well, point taken. Fine as it is. I hope you're joining us on YouTube. Already got a comment from Tony Morse who says, good morning. Good morning. Happy Friday, guys. Hotty toddy. It is Friday. Ole Miss baseball has a 3-game series coming up at Oklahoma this weekend. Critical as Ole Miss enters the late season stretch. Football is entering the heart of the offseason, I should say. And we'll talk more about some football stuff as well. But first and foremost, man, how you doing, Brad? And you're coming from your office. You're coming to us live from your office there in Madison, right?
Meridian. Regional Homes of Meridian.
Meridian. So, Meridian.
Dude, good, man. I'm excited. I know I was texting you all week. What I tell you, I said, hey, we're about to sweep them boys. And we were one I was checking. We had practice on Sunday. And I was checking. I was like, please let me have called that sweep. Great win. I mean, I think that's a huge, I think that put us in a whole different category, winning that series, did what we needed to do. And I think it's exciting, but have an exciting finish. Man, Ole Miss has a chance to do something pretty good in baseball here. So we finished strong. I think that was, we got some good wins this year, but that one was, that to me, we took care of business the right way. So hate to lose 13 up, but still we won the series. And that's most important.
That was the funniest thing is on Saturday. Like, you were so hyped, man. Like, you were so excited. Ben, clip that from last show that said we're going to sweep these sons of guns. And sure enough, they got one game close to sweeping that team. It would have been critical. They didn't get it done, and that's okay. But I was surprised. They won 6 of their last 7 games and yet didn't move a single spot in D1 baseball's top 25 rankings. They're coming in this week at number 23 again. Talk about people still doubting the Rebels, or still at least – showing some reticence to give them contender status. I know I'm one of them, even though we're in May now and Ole Miss is 32 and whatever it is and 12-9 in the league, playing good baseball. I still, because of the last 2 years, I'm waiting for the bottom to drop out. That's what I told you before we got started, even though, they're a good baseball team, but they're not getting the respect I think they deserve.
Same way with basketball this year. I think you look at them, people are trying to, hey, they're whatever. The one guy called us a choke or something like that, or a fraud, right? Like, it's just, at some point you got to say, hey, man, they've beaten Tennessee. They've got to win versus Tennessee. Really could have won that series. Really should have won the series versus Arkansas. Just beat Vandy. I mean, they have some legit wins. I think that, over the last 2 years, what's went on, I think Ole Miss is skittish. Fans are skittish, but I do. I think this is a national championship team. I don't think so, but I definitely don't think it's a bad team. It's definitely a team that if pitching were to get hot, I think with the bats we have, there's no chance, there's no reason we can't, make a run at it, again. So, it's just one of those things, man. It's just, I see it too. I'm like, why? How do you not move up with all the rank wins that we have? I think we're easily a top 15 team, maybe even a little better. But yeah, all you can do on that though is just like the basketball team, go out there and whoop some ass and get your respect. And that's just there. And that's the greatest part about sports, right? Like, you get a chance to go out there and actually do it, and it doesn't really matter where you're ranked. You get to go out there and play the game, and that's the beautiful thing about sports.
If Ole Miss gets back to Omaha, I think we have to go live this time. I think you have to meet me down there. We have to go live from right outside the stadium, let fans come drop by the tent, whatever it might be. I think we need to go ahead and put that on the books, because if they make it back to Omaha, especially after the last 2 years and winning the title in 2022, we have no excuses. We have to show up and set up a whole Talk of Champions tent.
Yeah, no doubt. And I tell you what, some of the teams that are seeing us as their two seeds, probably like, not ain't the two seed you want, dude. It's a team that could really, really beat you up if you ain't careful. So yeah, no doubt, dude. And listen, I don't know how teams go to Omaha every year. What it costs to go on that trip the year we went all the way through, and we kind of needed 2 years off to save up. So the teams that go every year, good luck, buddy. That's a damn trip.
But we will go. We will be there. We'll set up. Maybe we can get a sponsor to cover all those crazy costs. Because if you go to Omaha, you're there for a long little stretch.
A minute.
You there Correct. For a minute. Dirty Bird 37 jumped in the comments, said, good morning, boys. Good morning, Dirty Bird 37. Excited to be here on Talk of Champions again. Always powered by Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com. 662-644-4297. The Ole Miss Spirit, olemissspirit.com, and Fleet of Bone 3. Speaking of baseball, Braden Jones, Ole Miss reliever. It was announced this week through a statement from Ole Miss sent out to the media. He is out for the year now because he has a torn UCL in his arm. That's a loss. I mean, I don't know as far as their end of season outlook if it changes much of anything, but it is a loss. And I thought that was pretty notable, that because he's a guy that Mike trusted, right? And ran out there some high leverage stuff. So that's a loss. But again, I don't know if it necessarily changes much of anything at all about their full season, end of season outlook. Does it to you at all?
No, I think it would be nice to have an extra arm when you're going through a run, and obviously Mike trusts him, putting him in there in some big situations. But yeah, that's what sports are about, man. You're gonna have people go down. That's when you get to dig in. Hopefully somebody comes out of nowhere like they did the year when DeLucia went crazy midseason. So that's the great thing about this. You got a ton of good guys. Maybe there's somebody we haven't seen, or maybe there's another guy that steps up and takes a lead. So no, it sucks, but hey. You got to move on. That's the sports. That happens. Going to happen again at some point.
It was really funny when you mentioned the two seed nobody wants to see unless Ole Miss can, really finish strong here. Yep. And get, they're right outside the hosting discussion. If they can finish strong and get into that hosting discussion, it's a moot point. But a two seed Ole Miss is scary. It reminds me a lot, and y'all are going to cringe. You're going to immediately fold into yourselves when I say this. Tennessee Tech, I mean, Ole Miss is number 7 in the country in home runs. I mean, this is one of the most powerful teams. So you could see them go in. Oh, look at you. See, I can already see it on your face. Just the nightmare coming back home in your brain for Tennessee Tech. It was Bloody Monday. I'll never forget that. You had Ryan Rollison learning he'd gotten drafted in the first round by the Rockies on the same day that this miserable Ole Miss day was happening. But Ole Miss kind of profiles similarly if they do end up a two seed. I think they have better pitching, obviously, than Tennessee Tech. But in pitching depth as well, but the offense, the ability to go out and just club against anybody is Ole Miss's greatest strength, I think.
Yeah, no question. Dude. They that's why I like us. I mean, I think those bats keep, there's games where we can go off. I mean, and really go off quick. I mean, we got some real pop to the lineup. Just my thing is held the pitching's okay. I think if we had great pitching on this team, we really could make a run at it, a really deep run. But I think, pitching gets hot or stays okay. But I mean, the bats, like you said, dude, I mean, we have a chance to, you have a chance to go off in any game, and we've proven that versus some good teams. I mean, hell, we hit Vandy in the mouth twice. That's, we whooped them up pretty good then first thing. They beat the hell out of us last game, but I mean, we came out there and we were on them quick.
Yeah. And again, it's when you look back at this season now and you see some of the missed opportunities, this Ole Miss team, it's in a really good place, but it could be even better. This is a good team. So the worries about the bottom falling out just because we were so used to the last 2 years, how miserable it was. this team is good and they're going to be there in the race. Just hopefully they can get into that hosting discussion here at the end of the season to kind of finish things out really, really strong. But I will say, too, the rotation hasn't changed on the weekend. Still, it's still like day one, Hunter, Riley Maddox, and then Mason Nichols. Eventually, you'd think that Mason Morris was going to get in there and start games. But I was told, it was funny this week by a player or two, that Mason is hilarious in that he doesn't even think about any of that. He's like the most pitcher of all pitchers. Like Gunnar Hoglund was weird, right? Gunnar Hoglund was a lefty, though. He was different. You had to have a different mindset to go out there and be a Bulldog. And now Gunnar Hoglund has been called up by the A's to make a start today on this Friday against the Marlins. So shout out to Gunnar Hoglund for getting the call a week after Doug Nikhazy got the call for a spot start in the second, or as the 27th man in a doubleheader for the Cleveland Guardians. Got roughed up six runs in three innings and got sent back down to Columbus. But both of those together, getting promoted within a week, I thought was really cool. But also, if we're talking about tortured Ole Miss baseball existence, Brad, the fact that Ole Miss was robbed of just one season, one, where both Gunnar and Doug were fully healthy and pitching atop their rotation, still haunts me, at least to this very day.
We're 14-1 and we just beat Louisville at home.
Yep.
Number one Louisville, I think, at the time.
Yep.
I'm gonna say that the only thing that, yeah, that season was gonna be crazy. I mean, in my head, the way I see it, I try to compare it to like last year when we were like 14-1. I'm like, you know, anything could have happened, right? If that season would have ended 14-1 last year, whenever we started out, you know.
Stop the count.
You would have never known. So anything could happen. But yeah, Servideo was unreal that year. We never got to see his, like, he was about to go off.
Player of the year caliber stuff from him. And then Gunnar and Doug atop the rotation. And again, you had them at Ole Miss together for 3 years, and not once did you have them together fully healthy pitching in a rotation for the season. So that was tough. But again, congratulations to Gunnar Hoglund for getting promoted. And what's really interesting, when I saw this, my first reaction was, oh, that's cool, of course. But really quickly, I started to think, I love Doug. Doug is the best college pitcher most of us have ever seen. Mike Clements to this day says there's nobody he'd rather have on the bump in a must-win game than Doug. Doug is a legend. This is nothing about Doug. Doug's going to be a good pro. But I think Gunnar has more upside as a pro. I mean, you're talking about top end of the rotation. So Doug kind of is what he is at this point. We still don't know how good Gunnar can be because he just now started pitching, I think, last year. I think his first full year since coming back from another injury. And, yeah, Gunnar's got that top of the rotation, 20 years in the league, that kind of stuff and makeup. Not saying Doug can't do it too, but yeah. I think there's still a little untapped lottery ticket upside with our guy, Gunnar Hoglund.
Doug's a phenomenal athlete and competitive. That's what makes him good. Like, that's just, I mean, his tools are good, but not spectacular. They're, his deal is he's an unreal athlete. I don't know if you've seen the video. I mean, he just could hit and all kinds of stuff, but he's just competitive. Like, he's got that thing that if you could give me all kids that were competitive rather than talent, which I have a few on, you know, just coaching some softball stuff. You have the ones that are really competitive and not as good an athlete are always a better player. I mean, it never fails. The really athletic ones that aren't very competitive, they're just average. So Doug's got that crazy competitive spirit that's very rare and very hard to teach. You know, so he finds a way to just go out. Some guys are just winners, man. Winners just win. And that's what Doug is. So, I love Doug. He's awesome.
I love Doug too. And I can't wait to see him get back into professional baseball, get recalled again after that spot start in a doubleheader for the.
They only gave him one start. He only got one start.
He was the 27th man of a doubleheader. And then they sent him back down to Columbus. But hey, it shows you that they think highly enough of him that he was the next in line, right? Like the 27th man, he's right there and he already got his taste. And then there's Gunnar, who I honestly think could stick pretty quickly. The back end of the A's rotation has been pretty bad. So Gunner's got wide open opportunity here to take the ball and run with it. So best of luck to those guys, Gunnar Hoglund, Doug Nikhazy, all the MLB rebels and professional rebels out there, including those just recently drafted to the NFL draft. I saw something today and I wanted to get your take on it because I thought of you immediately. You're better at picking apart players than anybody else of my friends that I know. And Princely Umanmielen went in the third round of the Carolina Panthers, and I've been looking at grading on all draft mocks and stuff like that. And overwhelmingly, the Panthers are being praised for Princely going in the third and the explosiveness of what he could be. Mm-hmm. First of all, though, I thought there was he was getting mocks going into the draft where his clock started about pick 20, and most had him projected and at the early second, mid second. Why do you think he dropped? And then after that, what kind of pro do you think he'll be, and what kind of value did the Panthers get getting him in the third?
Yeah, I think anybody who had him projecting the first round, I think that would have been way off. Even second round, he could have been a late second round guy. I think he landed right about fair. I mean, he's a pass rusher. Like it is what it is. He's not. I don't think he's an every down guy. But he does do the one thing that is very valuable, and that's pass rush. And he has this. But I think somebody's looking at him as, hey, we can potentially turn him into a big-time player just with his tools. Obviously, one thing that people fail to realize about, you know, the NFL draft, there's a whole process that goes on, right? Like the whole evaluation process, there's so much more that goes on. Like, I am mind-blown that Jared Ivey didn't get drafted in the fourth or fifth round because his production on the field – calls for that. But when you look into the testing and some of the little things that a lot, and this is how people get overlooked, they don't put enough value in film as they should. But what they're trying to do is they're trying to project upside, right? And sometimes upside don't project, but they're still a good football player and still good on film. So that's how you see undrafted guys come in, make the Pro Bowl and stuff. To me, Ivy's a hell of a ball player on film. Like, I'm thinking, dude, that dude's at least third, fourth rounder, maybe even, you know, fifth, somewhere in there, at worst fifth. But you don't get drafted. But then you go back and look at his testing and stuff, and it's very, very, it doesn't project at all. Like, it's very, very average testing. So, you know, that's how a good football player on film can drop. And people don't take a risk on him. Same thing with, you know, Princely had great testing. He had solid testing. And, you know, I think production on film was good. I think it could have been great. I think based off his testing, it should have been great. You know, just the kind of athlete he is. So I think that you look at two cases there where, you know, it's a complete package, man. Then it goes with personality too. I mean, they sit and interview these guys, they call around, like, that's what people don't realize. They think, you know, not everything's based off of production. You see, there's a whole package. Whenever you are hiring an employee or you're putting money into an athlete, man, it's more than just what's on the field, right? You got to be a trusted guy. You got to be able to, you know, when you call around about people, within a few phone calls, you can tell what kind of kid he was, right? And no matter how good of a football player you are, you know, there are exceptions that do get away with stuff because they're that elite. And everybody, people always go to that example of, hey, you know, look at so-and-so, he did this. Well, guess what? So-and-so runs a 4.2 and can nobody cover him. So, hey, it is what it is. He's got away with some stuff. But if you're on the fence and you're equal to a bunch of other guys, there's going to be some factors outside of that decide it. And that's the thing, man. These people dig in deep on it. The owners aren't just throwing money at the wall, right? Like, there's people getting calls. I mean, they really bet these guys. And, you know, sometimes people don't understand the fall, or some people don't understand why people go higher than they should have. But, you know, there's a whole evaluation process that goes into it. And, you know, I think he fell about even. I think that's about where I see Princely. I thought that somebody could have taken a risk on him higher. But I think production wise, I think he could have produced even more based off how athletic he is.
Yeah, I thought that he was an option for the Cowboys at pick 44. They went with a different edge, the edge from Boston College, whose name I'm going to butcher it. I don't want to do that. But that's when I went, oh, maybe there is a different evaluation as far as the overall player himself and Princely. Mm-hmm. But they're still untapped there. I think one thing people want to see is his durability. Can you stay healthy, right? Can you stay on the field? Can you be a three-down defensive lineman and not just a specialty pass rusher? But I think, you know, at worst, Princely, if he's able to stay healthy, is going to be like Dante Fowler, right? Yeah. Now, Dante was a first-rounder, but he's become more of a pass-rushing specialist, has really become one of the most efficient pass rushers in the NFL. So when I look at Princely, I'm like, well, that makes sense if he still has his durability concerns. If he can't be a three-down defensive lineman, that would make some sense to me. Yeah. But I was on the radio with Washington Commanders radio in D.C. doing a spot yesterday, and they were asking me about Trey Amos. And of all of Ole Miss's draftees, Trey Amos to me is the most surefire, going to be good from day one and going to play in the league. If you made me bet my house on one Ole Miss draftee to be good, to be a 10-year NFL vet of all these guys, I would say it'd be Trey Amos. And Princely would be, you know, up in the upper tier. I'm not saying he's second, third, but certainly Princely would be up there because of the projectability. So that's why I thought it was interesting. You see a lot of praise for the Princely pick. And all it made me think was, why the heck did he slide then? You know, like, what if all of these people are giving him A's and A pluses and talking about his explosiveness and what can he be? What was the reason why? So that makes some sense.
Yeah, evaluating players are crazy. I mean, it's a crazy process. Like I can just give you an example.
You gave me the perspective of these teams are looking for a reason not to draft you. You're the one that told me that.
No question. And then you look at, for instance, when you're into recruiting and there's a camp that pops up. Okay. So there's a camp where there was 80 or 90 O linemen at it. Okay. Mm-hmm. When you get that spreadsheet of all the numbers that happened that week, the first thing you do, you don't even care what stars they are. You don't care what offers they got. You don't care about any of that at all. Right. The people that are okay. So and so's got all these offers. He's really good. They don't care about anything. The first thing we're going to do is we're going to go up to the top of the Excel sheet and we're going to hit the tab, the broad jump tab, and see who had the highest broad jump. And we're going to start down from there. Right. Cause that's such a relatable tool for O-line. Mm-hmm. It tells you what kind of hits, what kind of explosion they have. And you have a guy who has an offer from UCF. He has an offer from Air Force and two other schools, but he broad jumped 10 as an O-lineman. So you're like, okay, cool. Now he's 6'6", 290. Let's see this kid. Let's see if he's got some, you know, bendability. Like there's so much stuff that goes into it that the common folk would not even, you know, think about. There's just certain tangibles and measurables that need to be met to project. Or in the evaluator's mind is to project to, hey, what can they grow into? And a lot of times in draft, people don't see that. They're like, oh, you know, so-and-so is really good on film. He was a good ball player, should have been here. But, like, he doesn't have projectable tools. So he's going to eventually peak and probably be, you know, pretty average ball player as these other guys that are really projectable end up, you know, passing them up.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The king stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Grainger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing, which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yeah, and I was at Ole Miss Pro Day, and a few guys didn't test particularly well. I was watching the three cone, and that's really – I want to – and I don't know, so I'll let Brad be the one to tell the truth, because Dirty Bird 37 says he's betting on Walter Nolan. That obviously, he's probably number two to Trey Amos, but Walter's got a little undersized. You talk about fit. I love the fit of Trey Amos with Dan Quinn in that aggressive defensive style in Washington. There's a lot that goes into it, but Walter's a great pick too, of course. But when you look at the three cone, there are a couple of linemen for Ole Miss that, man, when they were trying to show their agility and their ability to move in and out of the cones, they had to start over multiple times, and the testing just didn't go particularly well. Yeah. I know it hurt one player in particular in terms of draft status, and it's not just the three cone, but like you said, I didn't think about that, the broad jump and how it's relatable to offensive line tools, because when you look at it, thousands upon thousands of names, there's got to be something that differentiates to start, right? And that's kind of where the testing comes in.
Yeah, and that's how it is in evaluation. There's certain things, and whether it be with, and I'll tell you something else that's huge that I didn't know as obviously I spent a little time in the recruiting world. I didn't realize that track is so heavily evaluated, like how guys run in track. If you got a wide receiver and he's in track season and he doesn't run a sub 11 in the 100 or whatever, they will hold that against him like none other. Track is heavily evaluated. When it comes to football, just straight raw speed. You want the guys in the 10, whatever, but a guy goes out, runs 11.2 or whatever in the 100 or whatever. I think that's 100 meter, 11.2. Like they're immediately going, I don't know if he's got that top end speed. So I didn't realize track, like for wide receivers and DBs and stuff, track is heavily looked at. Yeah, track season is something that all the football coaches evaluate and monitor pretty heavily.
Well, I've always wondered why they didn't, like football teams, not just Ole Miss, go and like find the best shot putter. Tariq Robinson O'Hagan, for example, is a national champion, up for the Heisman equivalent in track and field, the greatest award in track and field this year. I think it's the Bowman, something like that. But like Tariq, you look at him, he's built like a brick shit house. My first thought is, man, that looks like a left guard to me. You know what I mean? You got that kind of, but yeah, so track and field and evaluations of those kind of tools, really thinking about it in that way makes it make sense then, you know, because Princely looks like $1 million. Princely, when he's on, there's few better in the league than him, right? He's as good a pass rusher as you're going to get. But the overall testing, the projectability, especially when millions are involved, is a big part of it. So that's really interesting, man. I'm glad we touched on that because I was confused as heck. I really was. I was like, I don't understand. I see all these good grades, and he was getting first-round mocks and second-round mocks, and I know mocks don't matter. But it's all that the casual fan can kind of go on because you don't get the evaluations of the scouting report unless a kid – is making a prank call and getting the numbers for sure. Yeah,
I was actually more surprised on Amos. I thought Amos was a first round. I thought it was gonna be a first round lock, just based off his length and that position is like tackle, you know, tackles and defensive backs, man. Like you got a guy with length that can cover real well. I mean, shit, it's hard. It's hard to find them. And I really enjoyed during the draft process listening to Saban break down players. I think Saban was by far, he was very fair, and you could tell, like he was in TV mode, but you can hear the coach in his voice, like especially when he's talking about Amos. Hey, this is the guy who was, you know, he was our third guy, and you know, wasn't really sure if he can run. Like when he started going on, like, you can kind of tell what their knocks were on these guys by listening to Saban talk to them, so talk about them. He was a much more coach evaluation more so than Mel Kiper and some of these other dudes who are just, you know, shooting from the hip. Whereas, you know, Saban was able to break say what their negative was pretty quick or what his thoughts were pretty quick, and I love that.
Yeah, I did too. Nick Saban needs to be everywhere, be it as speaking behind the presidential seal or being the commissioner of college football, whatever it needs to be. I would vote for Nick Saban.
I love Nick, man.
He's the ultimate football guy. And the Trey Amos stuff he was talking about was, like you said, really, really fascinating because he was buried behind Terry McDonald and Kool-Aid McKinstry. And he, you know, like this is a good example of how the transfer portal, as cynical as we can all be about it and how chaotic and miserable it can be in a lot of ways and how we've lost some things in college football because of it. Thank God the players getting paid, like that was long overdue. But this is a good example of how the transfer portal can work for a player because Trey was a nickel, and then he goes to Ole Miss and dominates on the boundary by himself, an island unto himself. And in my opinion, in the conversation for Ole Miss's defensive MVP last year, only with Walter Nolan, Chris Poupaul, right? I mean, you're talking about that kind of impact. It was really, really good. All right, this is Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at SpiritBit on Twitter. That is Bradley Sowell, and I wanted to touch on something from one Andy Staples released recently, a college football post-spring top 25. You're looking at it right here now. Texas number one, seven SEC teams ranked in the top 20. Ole Miss is that seventh team at number 19. So, first and foremost, what do you think of my man Andy Staples, our On3 national college football writer for On3? Check out the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, an affiliate of On3. What did you think about the rankings? Number one, my first jump off is Texas got the best roster, but we're already crowning Arch Manning. It seems a little premature, but Ole Miss at 19 seemed about right. Honestly, I thought that they wouldn't make that top 25.
Yeah.
And to be at 19, having lost so much, over 70% of their starting 22. What do you think?
Well, the first thing that pops off to me is why is Clemson number three? Like, can we get over this Clemson thing? Like, if they put them in the SEC and they're not number three, dude. Like,
yeah, but it's Cade Klubnik and they're playing in a lesser conference.
Oh God, save me, dude! Every year with him, I swear. I'm okay with it. I think you can make a case for Ole Miss to be a little higher and a little worse. You know, just looking at all the stuff. I mean, we just lost 8 draft picks on our roster. So when have 8 draft picks ever left a team and they've been, you know, pretty good the next year? It's tough. So unless your name's Georgia and Alabama or a few others. So that's the only scary thing. I think you have a lot of uncertainty at quarterback. I think if you're to end the season in that range to a little better, you would call this an unbelievable season because now you got – another year or two with Simmons. So, but with the new transfer portal days, obviously expectations are real high. I'm fine with that. I mean, I think you go into this season thinking, hey, if you made the playoffs this year, Lane Kiffin's coach of the year, based on what he just had to replace.
Well, that was
which would be the most Ole Miss thing ever to do, to not make the playoffs with your 8 NFL draft picks and lose to Kentucky at home, and then somehow sneak in there with a whole bunch of new guys that I can't even name half of them yet. So that would be Ole Miss. That'd be what we would do.
Well, that's the one thing I saw a national writer that I follow on Twitter about the Cowboys was talking about. He made the kind of a snide remark. He was like, How did Ole Miss not make the playoff, let alone win a national championship when this is their draft?
I can tell you how. We lost to Kentucky at home.
I can too. It was funny. I was sitting down with TJ Daugherty last week, and we were just workshopping some podcast stuff. And it was funny because I go, all right, when did you know that y'all were in trouble? He's like, which one haunts you the most? The losses. I said, he's like, well, Florida was at the end of the year, and you kind of knew. But everyone agrees, including the players. TJ said it. How did you lose to that Kentucky team? How do you lose? How did you lose that game? But you did. I think what's really great about this ranking here is it's Ole Miss is on fringe, or is in on the fringe of college football playoff contention, right? That's where they ended, and that's where, at least according to Andy Staples, who I think is the best in the business, check out his stuff at On3. He's also occasionally on our board at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, affiliate of On3, as is Bradley Sal. And Talk of Champions is always brought to you by Riverland Roofing, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297. They ended on the fringe of college football playoff contention. They would start, in the case of Andy Staples, on the fringe of college football playoff contention. And it's surprising only because they lost so much and there's so much volatility. But looking at the roster, what are you most bullish about? Why do you think they contend? Why do you think they can contend? And what are you most worried about that could really lead them more to their floor, which is, what, 7-5?
Yeah, I'm a little worried about defense. You know, you lose that kind of D-line. You think about this. We're going to lose Princely, Ivy, Piggies, Nolan. Okay, those guys' names all got called, so I'm extremely terrified of defense, which having Pete Golden is good, but to immediately replace all that, it's going to be great. Then Poopall, who probably should have came back, but anyways.
Speaking of, let's touch on that for a second here, because we're not going to be on too much longer. Thank you for all who's joined us here on Talk of Champions. Tony Morse wants to know about Jordan Watkins at the next level. We'll get to that in just a second. Chris Poopall, that's another one. Speaking of Princely Umanmielen's slide, I know for a fact at Ole Miss and Chris Poopall, they'd agreed to a new NIL contract, and now that he's become a fifth rounder, like that NIL contract is more lucrative than whatever contract he's signing as a fifth rounder right now with the Rams. But I'm surprised, though. I'm just as surprised about him as I was, or even more so, than Princely. Why do you think he fell to the fifth? Because he was one that was getting – second round projections. And yes, he should have come back now that we can talk, with perspective of what just happened, right? Like but hopefully he goes out and kills it and gets that second contract. But why would he fall to the sixth? But especially when he's getting all that early round consideration.
I thought Poopall was a good ball player. I never once looked at him as, top three round guy. That's why I was shocked that he didn't come back. I mean, fifth round, he's going to get maybe 250,000, maybe 300 something, just depending on how far in the fifth round he went or wherever he went. But no, he would have made way more comeback in college without a doubt. And then had a chance to go. I mean, you can always go get that opportunity, but that's an example of, and I think there's a lot of examples of it where be careful. Like, man, this NIL money's good. You get to stay in college for a little longer and develop. So I don't know. That's one. I mean, hopefully they'll really good with this opportunity. But a fifth rounder is a lot different situation than a top three rounds. A fifth rounder can get cut in camp. Mm-hmm. A fifth rounder can get put on practice squad. And a fifth rounder is probably not going to get as many reps as an early round guy or the starter. You're drafting a fifth rounder in hopes. So, he may be a guy that would have probably made a little more money in college. I would guess. I don't know what a linebacker makes. NIL wise, but
I would guess probably $550,000 to $850,000. I mean, I know that's a wide range, but depends on. I mean, if he'd have gone into the portal, right, and he'd have only one team's got to fall in love with you. And this is a guy that had a 4% missed tackle rate last year. 4%. That is insane. I mean, he was one of the most efficient players, not just in the SEC, in the nation. Tony Morris, what is y'all's take on Jordan Watkins as the next level? I love the fit in San Francisco. It couldn't be a better fit for him, but I don't know. What do you think of him as a projectable wide receiver?
Yeah, I like him. I think he's a guy that I don't know if he'll ever be like a big-time guy, but I think he's a guy that you'll want. I mean, he ran a freaking 4.37. So, I mean, that in the slot and just a crafty guy. Hell, he was always, I think we're going to miss him a lot. I mean, he was always making big plays. He's a great ball player. If he gets in the right system and they love him, and he's really smart and knows the plays, I can see him easily playing a while. I think that he's a guy who I don't think anybody's going to be overly excited about drafting or getting, but he's a guy who once he kind of starts producing and he'll have a role of some sort if he can play a little special teams, do a few different things. I don't see why he can't have a pretty good career.
Well, before I interrupted you, we were touching on, as we were getting out of here, this top 25 from Andy, and post-spring top 25 in college football from Andy Staples. Ole Miss coming in at number 19. I ask you, what's your most bullish about this team reaching that contender status? If they're on the fringe right now of making the college football playoff, what makes you excited or bullish that they can climb and get into the college football playoff in the best-case scenario, and what kind of keeps you up at night?
Yeah, I think defense is going to keep me up at night. Just replacing that D-line is going to be hard to the SEC is all about O-line, D-line, man. And the O-line, we obviously have not been great over the last couple of years as far as talent and just overall. I can't remember last time I got an O-lineman go to the NFL, and stick for a while. Like
Laramie?
Laramie. Yeah, Laramie's out. He's a damn exception. He's the best player, best O-lineman in the NFL.
Best Ole Miss football player talent-wise to ever come through?
Oh, he's up there, man. And I would have said no there was one year where I watched him as maybe a rookie or second year guy where they slid away from him the whole game. And he went on the island the whole game and the quarterback never even got touched in the NFL. That's impossible. I mean, that's some crazy stuff. That's Trent Williams type level. That's the big time level. I mean, they slid the whole line away from him. He was playing against Everson Griffin, I think, who was a Pro Bowler.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, just gloved him up, didn't touch. I mean, didn't even come close. I mean, this was all game lockdown, and he had no help, which is really hard to do in the NFL. So he's up there, man. He is definitely up there talent-wise. But anyways, the things keep me up at night. You got D-line's, it worries me. I think that, I'd like to see us get a few more in the secondary. Offensively, I think we're always going to be fine based on the scheme. Running back, we have a little bit to be desired there, but I think that, I think we'll have somebody step up.
I think they're going to be good. I like what they've done, especially.
I like the talent. I like the talent. I just need to see some production. I need to see it on the field. I think wide receiver will be fine. A quarterback, obviously, I think it works out. I think in order for us to finish in the top 25, I think Austin Simmons would have cemented himself there and been that guy. And I think that's one thing we have to be leery of too. Like, I know we're all excited about him, but there's never any guarantees. We have never seen the kid in a full season, with all the pressure on him. Like, that's one thing Ole Miss fans got to just go into it with an even keel mindset. Like, does he look good? Is he great in practice? Yes, but we still have not seen it with a live stadium, loud, having the pressure of all game.
And now Georgia game, but that's a home small
game.
Sample.
That's a home game.
Fair.
That's a home game. Okay. Fair. That's a totally different ball game. Being at home versus away. So we still got to see the whole sample size. I think that my ideal season would be for Ole Miss to have he be the guy that we think he is, balls out, has a really good season, do better than we think on top of what we have, plus what we're probably adding the portal after doing that. I think this year is going to be a lot like Jackson Dart's first. So I think that's what I'm gearing my mind up for.
That's 8 wins.
About 8 to 9. You get in there, dude. I think Lane deserves a freaking huge cap tip on that because he's just replaced a damn. Let's face it, that we blew it this past year, but this next year, 8 or 9 would probably be pretty darn good.
And you're right there on the fringe, just like Andy Staples had Ole Miss Frank, number 19. You spoke about adding more in the secondary. I've been reporting on this podcast at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com. Sign up today for $1. Me and Brad are there every single day. I got to get Brad Peck posting more because everybody loves when Brad posted. You got to get back in there and talk to your people. But yeah, come hang out with us there. We've been reporting on all of the defensive back candidates in the portal that Ole Miss has pursued. Ole Miss, as I've been reporting here and at the Spirit, wants at least four defensive backs in the second spring portal. Have three so far after A.J. Halsey, but Ole Miss was just cut from his top three. He's down to LSU, Miami. He's the Houston transfer. He was all Big 12 last year. Ole Miss went and visited him in Houston wanting that player. But it looks like Ole Miss has been cut out of that one. And he's likely, according to Pete Nakos at On3, headed to LSU, an SEC rival ranked above Ole Miss in that top 25 post-spring of Andy Staples. But I think that there's still more work to be done there after the Miami safeties, Zaquan Patterson. He's really enjoying the process, but I think adding specifically at safety, one more safety, would be really important for Ole Miss. But at this point, I think they take the best defensive back, corner, or safety they could possibly get. But they've done really good work. I think that's what's really made me bullish about them being a fringe college football playoff contender, which number 19, according to Andy Staples, would make them. And the reason why I feel that way is because of how they've gone about addressing their needs in an efficient and in a responsible manner with the money they have in NIL. Damian Taylor at running back. Tavoy Fagan, who's probably more of a depth guy to start his career here, but that's a player that you can slide into cornerback. Ricky Fletcher has played at South Alabama. He can start at cornerback. But all of this new coming together and forming a contending team, that's the variable that I don't know how to quantify, Brad, and don't know how any clue how you make that work, but that's why Lane Kiffin makes the big bucks, you know?
No doubt, man. And that's one thing we're fortunate to have as a coaching staff that we have. And you know, you trust their evaluations, and you know, hell, it's so hard now to keep up with these guys that are coming in and out, and you know, never seen them play before. And you're like, hey, well, I guess I'll learn them all as we go throughout the season. So, yeah, no, I trust them. I think we'll be fine, man. I think that you know, we got the right staff in place to make sure we're always reloaded. And I think that I like years like this. Go in there, you don't know what to expect. I mean, last year we all were, man, we could not wait for the season. Now it's just like, now I'm in this other sense. I can't wait to see some of these new guys. I can't wait to see how Simmons looks. It's going to be a whole new look Ole Miss team. So I'm actually probably more excited about this year than I was last.
Because last year you're an Ole Miss fan. You're a long-suffering Ole Miss fan, Brad. Before you ever put on the red and blue, you're a kid in Hernando that just wanted to see the Rebels win, right? And now so, of course, you went there. The bottom's going to fall out. That's what you expected last year. You're like, yeah, we're good. We're going to make the playoff. But not
I didn't expect to fall out versus Kentucky, though. My gosh.
When the quarterback that beats you retires almost not before even the season ends and says, it's time to go to real estate. Yeah, you know you colossally fumbled it. You know, you colossally fumbled that
one. And then when I didn't, there was whoever that number eight was for Kentucky, the D lineman, who was just roasting us. I don't think I even saw him get drafted, or maybe he was young.
Well, he dominated on this. And Braylon Brown finally looked, or Berrien Brown finally looked like Berrien Brown, that prospect that everybody wanted coming out, makes a ridiculous catch. He pushed off. It doesn't matter. The tight end, that game. That's going to be the one that we're going to be old and gray doing this dang podcast going, I remember the Kentucky game in 2024. Can you believe we lost to that? You know, we're going to still be doing
The list is so long. Arkansas throwback, them Auburn leg break. You got the damn Kentucky fourth down. Like, this just keeps going. But, yeah, it's love it. Go Rebs.
But next year, hope springs eternal. And Austin Simmons, according to Andy Staples, is going to take Ole Miss into potentially fringe playoff, college football playoff status. So we'll be right here with you on Talk of Champions, talking about it always, brought to you as always by Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. Brad, tell the folks about your business and what you're doing.
Yeah, Regional Homes of Meridian, located obviously in Meridian. We got locations all over Mississippi. We service Mississippi, Alabama. We can go to Texas. We go all over. So, you know, in the market for a manufactured home, just give me a shout. And, you know, like, I'd love to talk some ball with you. I'd love to get you in a home as well. So give me a shout. Yeah, I got my Facebook, got our website. Just give me a shout and we'll definitely get you taken care of.
What's the number to call?
Here in the background.
Got my background. Where is 601, that's what I'm saying.
601-693-6789. Ask for me.
Look, ask for Brad. Say, I need to speak to Ben Garrett's Talk of Champions co-host, Bradley Sal, not former Ole Miss and NFL offensive lineman.
Hey, no doubt.
You know, he's just Ben's co-host. Thank you, my friend. It was fun. We'll do it again next week. Am I holding you to it? Are we going to go three in a row?
Let's do it. All you got to do is text me, dude. I'm always available on Friday morning.
He's a liar. I've texted him for years. You can't finesse me on my own show, Brad. No, if I'm playing. We're gonna talk next
week. Rebs 2 out of 3 this weekend. We're taking 2 out of 3. I'm not calling the sweep this weekend. We're on the road. Things gonna be a little tough. Yeah. I think we're gonna out hit them. It's gonna be a slugfest. We're gonna win the first night. It's gonna be like 12-10 or something crazy.
Do you know what's nuts? Austin Fawley, the transfer catcher from Kentucky, has the most home runs of any Mike Bianco catcher. And there have been a lot of good Mike Bianco catchers. Stuart Turner comes to mind. I mean, we could go Brett Bash. I could go through all of them. Hayden Dunhurst. I could go through all of them. He has the most. I think that's nuts, man. I've always thought of catcher as a power position for Ole Miss. I guess I was just – it's the fielding spot. But that's nuts. 13 bombs. Does he get him another one then? He's hit like 8 in his last 11 games at this point. Yeah.
He's a tank. He's Kent Murphy style home runs or bust. Let's go.
Let's go. And we'll see each other in Omaha. Thank you, friends. We'll see you soon. God is good. Take care. We'll see you next time on Talking Champions.
See you, man. Howdy, toddy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Live on DAZN Worldwide.
Saudi Arabia.
Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern. Canelo versus Skull. The King stakes his legacy once more for the undisputed crown. Standing in his way is Warrior Skull, undefeated and poised to decimate the division on a knockout weekend of boxing.
Let's make history.
Get Canelo versus Skull, Saturday, May 3rd, 7 p.m. Eastern, live exclusively on DAZN. Buy now at DAZN.com